This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, a new era has begun. Welcome to your home for everything modern-day WWE, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. Indeed, a new era has begun this week in World Wrestling Entertainment. We closed a book Sunday night in Washington, D.C., and then this past Monday and Tuesday, we opened another book. And tonight we will discuss the future and beyond. Now, not often on Main Event do I go one-on-one with a guest, but because I love this guy to death, and I don't really get to talk to him in a one-on-one setting. Usually there's like another 460 people. But he's going to join me tonight, and this first segment is just him and I. And then we will have another guest in segment two. He is one of my favorite people. He is a heavy contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com. He is the host of his own podcast, Our Spectacular. In fact, the most recent episode from last week was about the new Star Trek Beyond, which I hope to see tonight. If you're listening to this, it is Thursday, so I'm hoping to see it tonight. So we'll see if I do just see it tonight. But they already went over it, and I was actually on an episode of that show, and it was tremendous. Let me bring in Mr. Glenn Butler.
Thank you very much, Scott. I'm glad to be here without the other 459 people this time.
Yes, we don't have Virgil Milton and the fuck money. So
more's the pity.
I know, really. Yes, Glenn, always a pleasure, my friend. And we got a busy show tonight, and then we will have a special guest joining us in segment two, and he may join us in some point in segment one.
You never know. Anything could happen here on the Place to Be Nation.
I mean, people have come in, bowed out. I mean, we've had cats attack. I mean, it's been insane. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to, Mr. Butler, but there was a memorable episode. I don't believe it was the Kevin Kelly show. I think it was Place to Be Podcast. I think it was one of the ones when JR and I were recapping a half season of pay-per-view or a half season of WWE, half year with Kevin, and his cat attacked him and ripped off his headphones. Probably one of the greatest moments in the history of Place to Be Nation. Because suddenly it's like, yeah, I remember talking to Goldust. Ah! Just chaos. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, my cat, I promise, is a lot tamer.
Okay, good.
I don't he is snoozing right next to my ottoman right now, so I think we're going to be all right.
All right, good, good. Old and lazy. That's what we like. That's what we like in our pets.
Exactly, just like me.
All right, now, Glennie Bunn, we have got a jam-packed show because we ended one chapter, and began a new one. Sunday night, of course, was Battleground, which took place in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And my opinion, one of the better pay-per-views of the year. I have to say, I thought it was an exceptional pay-per-view. Just to go through the results quick, on the pre-show, Breezango defeated the Usos, which tells you where they are in their careers.
Yeah, for sure.
Sasha Banks and her special guest, Bayley, duh, although I thought it was going to be Nia Jax, but she seems to be a heel, as we saw on Monday, defeated Charlotte and Dana Brooke in a tag match. That was about 7:25. The Wyatt family defeated the New Day, which I thought was a big shock as well. That was at 8:47. Rusev retained his United States Championship with a win over Zack Ryder in 7:01. In maybe the match of the night, Sami Zayn finally shook off the demon that is Kevin Owens with a win at 18-22. Natalya, this is my give me a goddamn break moment of the night. Natalya defeated my girl, the last kicker, Becky Lynch. We could talk about that, Glenn, because I was banging my head against the wall. That was 9:04. The Miz versus Darren Young ended in a double DQ. I don't know how that came about, but that was, of course, for the Intercontinental Championship. That match was 8:41, and The Miz retained. John Cena, Big Cass, and that dope with the crappy haircut, defeated The Club in 14:30. I found new people to hate after watching this pay-per-view, Glenn.
Yeah, I bet you did. We'll get into that a little bit, too.
Yes, and finally, in maybe the biggest shock of the whole night, Dean Ambrose retained the WWE Championship in the Triple Threat Shield match against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. That match was 18:03, so that was the second longest match of the night. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens got 19 seconds more, and there were only, and the only other match that was that long was the second six-man. General observations, Glenn, of the show, and then we'll get into specifics. Your general observations of the show.
I think all of the big matches on this show, and I think there were three, really, really delivered. I really, really enjoyed the three matches I think were the biggest deals and the three longest matches on the show.
Right.
And, of course, aside from the three big matches, there was the question of who Sasha Banks' partner was going to be. Mm-hmm. And that reveal, I think, delivered as well. So everything that this show really needed to do, I think it did.
Right.
And I got a lot of enjoyment out of it. Some of the other matches didn't quite deliver as much, but I figure for one of these shows, now that they're on the network, you know, the big matches delivered, the angles delivered, I'm happy.
Yeah, I thought everything really delivered as well. Obviously, Sasha Banks, with a little help from her friend, who did go back to NXT. Bayley was there for one night only as a favor, because she will be getting, she finally has her rematch with Asuka coming up on August 20th in Brooklyn, which will be. And I wouldn't say that was an upset. I think that was a setup. I think what happened the next night was an upset, but we'll get to the shows in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The storylines continued to deliver. Nothing made no sense. Well, one thing made no sense. I still do not understand why Natalya beat my girl, the last kicker. It made no sense whatsoever. Did Natalya pull a power play?
Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to go through the matches chronologically?
No, we can just, when we go, the next thing I was going to do was your three specifics coming away from the show, and then we can break that down as well. So you gave me your general observations. Give me three things you took away specifically from the show.
Okay. Number one, I think it's a good thing that they decided to keep the WWE title on SmackDown and with Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the obvious decision. It wasn't the decision a lot of people thought they would make, but I appreciate that.
Right.
Also, given where they went with it on this week of TV. Two, I continue to really like John Cena in tag situations, mm-hmm. and I think there are some great ones available to him with the SmackDown roster.
I agree.
Three, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are just incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the most obvious thing in the world in any wrestling discussion, but I feel like you need to keep coming back to that point because they keep being incredible.
You could argue, and obviously we'll talk about that at the end of the year when we do our end of the year awards. You could argue, conceivably, it's feud of the year. It's a candidate.
Absolutely it is.
It's a candidate for feud of the year. And they've got multiple, one match of the year. Did this match reach match of the year levels? Possibly. On interpretation, maybe a second watch.
I think it's absolutely in the discussion.
Yeah, I think so too. I really do. What's your third point?
That was, I think that was three, but I.
Okay, sorry.
If you want a fourth one,
sure.
On the Natalya Becky Lynch match, I think that Natalya went over because the SmackDown women's division, such as it is, is basically Becky Lynch and a bunch of people who aren't quite as good as Becky Lynch. So she's obviously like the center of the division. She's the best wrestler among them, I feel, and the most popular. So, but she's also a great underdog babyface, which means that she loses a lot. So that she can win eventually. That's kind of the same dynamic that Sami Zayn has as a great underdog babyface, but the way they pitch it is a little different. Also, Natalya is just coming off of her heel turn from the previous pay-per-view. I don't watch the weekly TV. I made an exception this week because I try to whenever I'm on main event, and I wanted to see what they did after the draft, but I'm not sure what exactly they did with Natalya week to week on TV, but for me, watching pay-per-view to pay-per-view, she turned heel at the last one, and they have a match on this one, and Natalya beat her because she is newer in her character and needs to be established as one of the other top dogs in the SmackDown women's division. So the decision to put her over makes a little more sense to me.
It does. But on the other hand, it's Natalya. Does anybody really care? I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of questions about a second women's championship belt, and we'll get more into that when we talk about the two shows. But clearly, SmackDown Live does not have enough women to justify a second women's belt. I think what will make the women's champion fun, regardless of who it is, and obviously we know what happened, I think that person bouncing from show to show might be kind of cool. I think you'll see some storyline agreement made between, you know, Stephanie and Mick and Daniel Bryan and Shane, where she, whoever it is, can bounce back and forth. Because there's just not enough women on SmackDown Live to justify a second women's belt. A second tag team belt? Possibly. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let me talk about some of your points, and then we'll get into a couple of mine. Your first one, you talked about. Your first one was Cena, right? Was that your first one, Cena, or was that your second one?
I think that was the second one. First one was Dean.
Dean. All right, let's talk about the main event. I was literally stunned. Stunned.
Really? Stone Cold came to your house?
That, yes, with a bunch of midgets playing basketball. That he won. I think it was a foregone conclusion that either Seth Rollins was going to win and we were going to get Seth and Roman at SummerSlam, or Roman was going to win and we were going to get Seth and Roman. I thought Seth and Roman was locked in as the main event in Brooklyn, regardless of who had the belt. Seemed like a lot of people thought that. I had said, and we had some debates in the live chat page, about getting, quote, punished. Should Roman Reigns have been punished for his dalliance?
Yeah, that's something I've seen a lot of people talking about, and I kind of liked the point that Johnny Sorrow made on one of the episodes of This Week in Wrestling, I think, that the suspension is the punishment. Now, it could be that he's still being punished past that because it's wrestling and that's the mentality. But in any sport, in any other arena, the suspension is the punishment. And if you're a key player and if there are big plans for you, once you come back, you still get to do that because you already got punished.
Yeah, correct. And so they weren't going to pull him from the match. And I think it was fascinating to see what would happen when he walked out. I think everyone knew what would happen when he came out, and of course he did. He got vociferously booed.
Yes, indeed.
Vociferously. I don't think there was much in the way of cheers. Now, the next night I saw some cheers, more than I thought, but
a little bit at one point, which was surprising.
Yeah, very surprising. We'll get to Raw. But yeah, Dean winning. And let me tell you something. for a guy who everybody trashed throughout most of 2015, and then he lost some dopey matches at the end of 2014, the moment when the entire SmackDown Live roster came out and got on his shoulders and celebrated, and what a cool moment for Dean Ambrose. Because here's a guy who everyone thought was like the forgotten Shield guy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As compared to the other two. Both of them had extended reigns as no pun intended, as champion. And he was kind of like the forgotten schlub who happened to win, you know, the title kind of accidentally, or, you know, last year at Money in the Bank, he kind of, you know, stole the belt or whatever. But on this night, he got a great moment that he truly deserved, and right now is on top of the world.
Yeah, I agree. Even when he was fighting Rollins for the title last spring into the summer, it was a foregone conclusion that he couldn't actually win it.
Right.
That's what made the dusty finish to that match you were just talking about a little more compelling than it might otherwise have been, because you know he's not going to do it, but they tease you a little bit. And then when he finally did win the title this year, the foregone conclusion was he's just a transitional champ. He's going to lose it back. You know, he'll have 1 month in the main event, and then he'll go fight Luke Harper again or something.
Right, right.
So this is a win that, even more than his title win, really cements him as a main event player. And then we see how that plays out this week on SmackDown as well.
Right. Yep. So, Dean Ambrose got what he deserved Sunday night, being on top of the world, and the whole roster came out. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. So Dean Ambrose retained the WWE Championship. That apparently also got renamed. Slightly, but we'll get to that in a moment. Your second point, I love watching John Cena in ulterior roles. Him in title matches are just so boring now. It's kind of like,
well,
it's kind of like Triple H. What's the word I'm thinking of? Crap. Fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like this is John Cena world title fatigue.
Well, Cena in title matches feels a little weird because on the one hand, he's John Cena. He's always a threat to win the title. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he's at number 15 at this point. And either you can't give him number 16 and put him at the same level as Flair.
Right.
Or if they do decide to, they have to make it special. It can't just be because of some of his other title wins when someone else wasn't doing well enough or for storyline reasons had to lose the title. You can always go back to Cena.
Right.
For number 16, if they do it, it has to be special. And so that's something I was thinking about a lot when he was fighting Seth Rollins for the title at SummerSlam and the September pay-per-view that's no longer called Unforgiven. Night of Champions,
yes.
last year. My brain is still stuck on like 2005 and 6 for pay-per-view titles. So, you know, you have WrestleMania, Backlash, Judgment Day. Vengeance,
yep.
Onward.
Yep.
This is just how I refer to the month.
Well, we're in the middle of that in the Vintage Vault, so join the club.
Yeah, exactly. You're in my wheelhouse there. But when he was fighting Seth Rollins, that's something I was thinking about a lot because, for one thing, he got the t-shirt that said 15 times, so they're not going to give him number 16 right away. But also, it really, really has to be something if they do it.
Right.
So, to put him in the main event scene right now is something that would have to be done very carefully.
Yep.
And so, he's more able to play those ancillary roles, like you mentioned.
Exactly. And he was helping put over guys that came over from NXT in the draft. And that was another key thing here for this match. Obviously, to continue his feud with AJ Styles, but we also knew the club was breaking up because Gallows and Machine Gun are on Raw. And we'll get to them in a minute because they kind of advanced themselves very nicely on Monday night. Let's talk about these implants, these imports from Raw, from NXT. I am a big, big Cass fan. Love Big Cass. I like his look. I like his build. I kind of like the way he moves in the ring. He's got that kind of big power move thing, and I'm a sucker for Hosses. So I love big power guys, and I like Cass.
But
however, the little pygmy that he hangs out with in his saggy shit diaper overalls, and I'm probably the only person on the planet that absolutely cannot stand Enzo. He's not funny. His jokes are dumb. It's 2016. Why are we laughing at Yogi Bear jokes? What is this, 1962? I mean, seriously. He's a schlub, and I don't think he's a very good wrestler either. And I know easily, because D'Amato was taunting me at the house on Sunday night when we were watching it.
D'Amato was?
Yes. Taunting me. Yes, he loves Enzo. Easily, I am the only Enzo hater. And that's fine. I'm the only Triple H fan, so I'm used to being the only of something, so it's fine with me. I just don't like him. I don't like his look. I hate the hair. The beard is dopey. I hate his, like, you know, his saggy, you know, Depends poopy overalls. Oh, and poopy overalls. And he's got the poop emoji on them. What are you, an 11-year-old girl? I mean, come on.
Was there another reason you were calling them poop overalls?
No, I was calling them poop overalls at first because they just looked too saggy. And then when he was wrestling, I'm like, oh my God, he's got the poop emoji on them. What's next? You're going to watch that show on Disney Channel with the twins? I mean, give me a break. He's awful. I'm waiting for him, and I've said this constantly, Glenn, and you're going to hold me to it. I've said for a while that eventually Big Cass is going to turn on Enzo, and we're going to have Big Cass and Baron Corbin be the new Skyscrapers. Yeah.
Well, that would certainly be a thing to do with Baron Corbin, but I don't want to pick on you on Enzo, but I do completely disagree.
That is completely fine.
I think he is awesome at, like, the goofy crap that he does. Like, everything about him is just goofy and camp, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, yeah, his jokes are terrible. That's part of the appeal, frankly.
You're probably right. I think they're meant to be dumb. You know what he is? And I think I said this in the group when we were hanging out watching it Sunday. Enzo and Big Cass are a modern day, they're the new Age Outlaws. Enzo is Road Dogg, and Big Cass is Billy.
Well, like many,
and I hate to insult Big Cass by comparing him to.
Well, I was just going to say, like many comparisons to the Attitude Era, they're much better wrestlers. I also love how all of their tag team maneuvers consist of Cass throwing Enzo at people.
I do dig that. That is pretty cool, and it does acknowledge that Big Cass is a hoss and Enzo's a little pygmy. It's kind of like the Haiti kid being thrown by the junkyard dog. But yeah, he may grow on me eventually, but right now I just think he's an annoying putz. But that's just me. I do love Big Cass. But my point here in the general scope of things is the other key component of this six-man was that John Cena was obviously elevating these two newbies. And that's fine. That's John Cena's job.
And he seemed to be having an awesome time doing it.
Yeah, you know, don't you almost get a feeling? And when we have our guest on shortly, our second guest, I'm going to ask him this as well. I almost get the feeling that Cena enjoys these. Like, everyone's like, oh, man, he got demoted. I think we know Cena long enough. I don't think Cena ever feels demoted. I think we've been wrestling fans long enough and have been watching him over the last, now 11 years, well, 13 years, but at least since he's been a main eventer, so the last 11 years. Cena's just happy being there.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
He is the platonic ideal of the company guy.
Yeah.
Whatever they need him to do, he will do, and he'll find ways to have a good time doing it. And I think everyone saw last year how invigorated he was working with the younger guys, some of the NXT guys, everyone he was doing the U.S. title defenses against, except Rusev. That feud was... But we got past it.
Yes, we did.
And eventually Rusev got past it.
Yes, he did. Very much so.
And now I think and I hope that he can find that kind of invigoration in these, like, weird tag environments and weird combinations. I so badly want to see a lengthy six-man tag with Cena teaming with Gable and Jordan. I don't know who, I don't know quite yet who they'd be fighting, but isn't that the greatest team ever?
It really is. It really is. And then Cena could actually like wear like a unit, you know, like a singlet, you know, and change things up. I think it'd be pretty funny. Now, of course, there are some people who have said, and I've seen on different boards, that, oh, here's the precipitous, if that's a word. Here is the prelude. Let me use prelude before I get accused of inventing more vocabulary. This is the prelude for a heel turn. Oh, putting these guys over. He's going to turn on them. No, he's not.
Oh, God.
Get out
it's
of
20. It's 2016. People get over it.
It's not 2010. This isn't gonna. It's not going to happen. And the club at works was great. I hate to see them split up. I think they could have had a longer shelf life. But you know what? Such is life. No big deal. Your third point. Was well, we got so much into the second point. Your third point was,
oh goodness, was that Natalia or was
oh
that
Natalia and Becky?
Okay,
that's what it was. Natalia Becky,
or was it Sammy? Whatever. Let's talk.
Let's talk the fix. I don't understand. I still understand that Natalia beating Becky Lynch, clean, which is even worse. Did she piss somebody off backstage? I mean, I can't see that. But I'm, you know what, Glenn? I'm going to take your philosophy on this that, oh, they need to build up Natalia because the women's roster on SmackDown Live is not great. It's not very hefty. So they do need some heels and faces. So maybe this feud can continue. Entirely possible. And I thought they had good chemistry. But Natalia just doesn't look good as a heel. Remember when she first came to WWE? What was it, 2009, I guess? Or 2010, she was a good heel. Then she became a babyface, and then she became a whiny little piss pants on Total Divas, and now nobody really cares anymore. But I think that she probably needs to be tweaked a bit as we move ahead, because the first big show post-SummerSlam is a SmackDown pay-per-view, so maybe they'll have something for that, because obviously they're going to have to fill that card. So you'll obviously see a rematch probably that night. I think it's September 11th.
Yes.
In Richmond it is. Well, you won't have to forget things anymore because it will be Backlash.
Oh yeah, but it's not in April, so I'm still going to be confused.
Yeah, it's still going to be Backlash. You're given unfor Backlash.
Unfor Backlash. Yes.
Back forgiven. Back look given. So now let's talk Sammy Owens because the match was incredible. Were you surprised Sammy won?
I wasn't surprised because I didn't have much of an expectation going in as to who would win. Mm-hmm. I was very glad that he did, and I was glad that he did in the way that he did, which was utterly and completely definitive, but not in a way that makes Owens lesser. They were very evenly matched. I think their whole feud has shown that. But they found a way to put Sammy over clean, completely clean, definitively, but still keep them even.
Right.
And still showcase both of them. I think that was very well done.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so too. And they just know each other so damn well. It's incredible. And now they're still on the same show, which is I still find perplexing.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think they're done? Because this is an obvious end for their feud, but we've got a 4-hour SummerSlam coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah, and we still have probably, let's see, how many matches are there right now? Three. So we still have like 3 hours and 8 minutes left to fill.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, plus it's a 4-hour show and all the pay-per-views have been going overtime now.
Yeah. Yeah, Battleground ended at, I was stunned after the Orton, Jericho segment, which obviously was on this show as well. I didn't mention that earlier, but that was in between the six-man Cena match and the main event. And we'll get to that in a minute because I got some comments about Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see some kind of multi-person match at SummerSlam. However, I've been saying that a lot. Somebody, it was pointed out to me today by somebody at work, that there's a good chance we'll see one more match with the loser going to SmackDown. And that is where Owens will win and Sammy will go to SmackDown.
That seems highly possible now that you mention it.
You know, SmackDown needs one more juicy chip. And I'll take either of them. But I have a feeling Kevin Owens would fit better on Raw than on SmackDown Live. I would love to see Sammy on SmackDown. And we have to continue the storyline with Cesaro, who wasn't on at all. And is not ashamed lately in storyline form to say that he's disappointed that he's still on Raw and being ignored.
Yeah, exactly. He has this whole character note going now where he's dissatisfied.
Yep. And then to see what happened on Tuesday, which we'll get to in a minute, it would probably piss him off even more. Let's talk about the highlight reel for a minute. I don't want to say I had Randy Orton fatigue, but
I did.
Well, yeah, and most people probably did. I felt really refreshed seeing him Sunday night, and JR vehemently disagrees with me, but I don't see why Brock Lesnar would win at SummerSlam. You know, he's already had his title reign. He's sort of undefeated. He's got two losses. Well, he's got three losses since he's been back at the company. Extreme Rules 2012 against Cena, WrestleMania 29 against Triple H, and then last year's SummerSlam, that weirdo ending with Taker, which a lot of people don't even think counts. Do you give Randy Orton any chance?
No. No, I think, I mean, I guess you could do some sort of schmoz, but for Orton, I wouldn't really see the point. He can get his heat back by RKOing a dozen people on SmackDown a couple days later.
True.
You know?
True.
He can take losses very easily with the character that he has. Especially as, like, he's supposed to be a face still, right?
Yeah.
Because of his interactions with Jericho and then on SmackDown with Miz.
Right.
So, especially as a face, he can take the losses pretty easily. Orton, oh, goodness, I've been fatigued with Orton since around 2005. No, really.
That's funny.
Really? I mean, oh, God, every now and then he'll manage to have a good match. Like the feud with Punk had pretty good matches, because...
Oh, yeah, I like that feud, actually.
Yeah, and, like, there was one time on SmackDown, he had a good match with Kane, against all expectation. Every now and then he'll have a good match, but just generally, I don't like his matches. I don't really like his character stuff. I don't like he's a slithery, slithery snake. The RKO out of nowhere is a good, you know, gif or vine, but in terms of seeing him on TV, I just don't care. In fact, he got hurt around the same time as Cena last fall, right?
Yeah, he got hurt. He was at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
He was wrestling Sheamus. Was he at Hell in a Cell? No. Yeah, it was about October he got hurt. Yeah.
So, it took me a good 6 months until I realized, wait, Orton isn't on any of these shows.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even realize he was injured for the longest time because he's not in my mind. I don't think of him. I don't care. And so to have him come back against Brock, who is someone that, I mean, I guess I like as much as anyone, but the, you know, suplex after suplex after suplex is getting a little old. You know, I wish he would do a second move now and then. Well, I guess he has the F5. I wish he would do a third move every now and then. So to put them together is just kind of hermetically sealing them off in this little container on SummerSlam.
Right.
That, you know, if it's good, I'll be pleasantly surprised, and I probably won't. So you might as well just have them against each other. But in terms of who has to win, I would not see Brock's first clean loss since beating The Undertaker come against Randy Orton. Like I said, you could do a schmoz. There are all sorts of things you could do if you really desperately want to keep Orton stronger, but that depends a great deal on what your plans are going forward. How high up is Randy Orton going to be in the hierarchy on SmackDown?
Right. Is he going to be in that Cena role where he'll be an elder statesman who kind of helps put guys over and kind of helps in tags and stuff? Will he be? I mean, I'm sure that he's going to be in a main event feud eventually because you got to fill spots like that and guys have to rotate. Now we're going to have all these extra shows. Yeah, we're going to have all these extra shows. They're going to have to. So, anything else of note?
His interactions with Jericho were actually pretty good.
Yeah, I had Jericho fatigue, but he was funny on Sunday. He was funny on Sunday.
Yeah, what did you think of the no enhancement needed line?
That was hilarious. That was hilarious. And when he said, it's not like I'm coming back against Fandango.
Yes, that was a great line.
That was fantastic. I thought their whole interaction was really good. It kind of blew me away. I thought I was going to be bored by it. But we were talking about length of shows, and I'm like, they haven't even started the main event yet, and it's 10:45. Wow. But it's a network. They can do what they want. They could do that now. And if you bought the pay-per-view, well, at least you're getting your $50 worth. So there's Battleground. I enjoyed it. You've watched every show this year, Glenn. Where would you place? Going into this show, what was the best show of the year, in your opinion? And did this show match it or surpass it?
Oh, goodness. I have a hard time remembering everything in that.
I mean, the Rumble I liked.
Yeah, I was just thinking the Rumble was pretty good. What was the title match at the Rumble?
It was
it was the Rumble.
It was the Rumble itself.
What am I talking about? The Rumble was pretty good. NXT Dallas.
Yeah. NXT Dallas is pretty awesome. And right now, NXT Brooklyn looks fucking amazing. we'll get to that card in a second. NXT Dallas probably is the best show of the year. That's kind of sad. Even with the great main events, have we really had a bad main event this year? Well, I guess Triple H and Roman was...
Yeah, that stunk up the whole state of Texas, dude.
Yeah. And on top of the fact it was like freaking 3:00 in the morning by the time it came on.
Oh, God, with the fucking 12-hour WrestleMania.
Yeah, with that Cena Rock piece, which I thought was utterly unnecessary.
Oh, God, Rock was completely pointless on that show.
Did we have to have him standing next to his flaming name for like 9 minutes? I mean, come on. We could have skipped that.
Yeah, Rock was terrible.
And WrestleMania, overall, I didn't think was a bad show.
The first half was good. The first half was a decent 3-hour show.
Yeah. And then it just got... Then it dragged. Yeah. Payback. I don't really remember Payback that much. I mean, the main event was good. Reigns and Styles.
That was their first match, right?
Yeah.
Both of their matches were really good.
Let's see. Let's see the Payback card. The Payback card was... Vaudevillains, Enzo, and Cass. That's when Enzo got knocked unconscious.
Yep.
And he sadly had to come back. Owens beat Sammy. I forgot they fought at this show. Miz, Cesaro.
Oh yeah, that whole sequence was really good with the great Owens Sammy match and then interfering in the
Miz Cesaro match.
In the Miz Cesaro match, which was pretty good on its own.
Yes. Dean Jericho, which was Charlotte Natalia, which was and then Reigns AJ, which was very good.
Yeah.
Because if anybody thought that Roman Reigns couldn't have a good 25-minute match, he did. But that show wasn't, on top to bottom, wasn't fantastic. Extreme Rules was not very good. You had the Club against Usos, Rusev Kalisto, New Day Vaudevillains, Miz in the four-way.
That four-way was good.
Yeah, Ambrose Jericho in that dreadfully boring Asylum cage match. 26 minutes that match was. So boring.
Oh, well, he had to get in the part where he hit him with the mop.
Yeah, exactly. Charlotte Natalia rematch.
Not good.
And then Roman's AJ was great, which of course led to Seth Rollins' return.
Yes.
Then we had TakeOver The End, which was at Full Sail. That was, let's see, Andre De Almas against Ty Dillinger, The Revival and American Alpha.
An awesome match.
Revival won the belts back. Nakamura Aries, which was fucking amazing.
Which was very, very good, yeah.
Asuka, Nia Jax.
And then was also very good.
Yes, and then Joe beat Finn in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good show. Not Texas, yeah. But a good show.
Yeah, the NXT shows are all good, top to bottom.
Yeah. And then Money in the Bank, we had New Day. It was New Day, Club, Enzo Cass, Vaudevillains in a four-way. Corbin Ziegler, Charlotte and Dana against Natalya and Becky, and that's when Natalya turned.
Yeah.
Cruz, Sheamus, AJ Cena, which was very good. Ambrose winning the Money in the Bank, which was good. Rusev, Titus, Seth Reigns, which was good, and then of course Ambrose cashed in.
I just forgot the point I was going to make. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess you could argue that Battleground's probably the best show of the year, next to NXT Texas.
Oh, actually, that was something else I meant to say about this show.
Yeah,
they did the one-on-one Cena versus AJ match at Money in the Bank, and then rather than doing another one-on-one match to have the rubber match at SummerSlam, I like that they did the six-man tag here.
That's
kind
the
of
point.
Kind of mixes that up a little.
Yes, very much. That's a great point. And then Cena got the pin back on AJ. He got the pin. So we'll see what happens at SummerSlam. Obviously, they're going to have one more. They're obviously going to have one more singles match. So
yeah, that's obviously something to have as one of the big matches at SummerSlam, for sure.
Now, right now, here is the card for NXT TakeOver Back to Brooklyn on August 20th. Six matches. I can't see there being more. Austin Aries against No Way Jose. American Alpha against the Authors of Pain, which is Ghazim Salmani and Sonny Dinsa. And that's,
is
of course,
it?
I guess that's what it is. Sonny Dinsa? Dinsa.
Sonny Boy?
Sonny Boy! What is on your credit card statement? Sonny Boy! Bobby Roode against Andre De Almas. I am so pumped to see my man Bobby Roode.
Note for listeners, I think some of these are spoilers that haven't been announced on TV yet.
Oh. Oops. Son of a bitch. Should I rewind? Spoiler! Well,
sorry.
It's not like we're spoiling results.
Really? Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's
really.
True. Remember when we found out in February that Nakamura was debuting in Dallas?
I know, really. And we're supposed to hide that for fucking 7 weeks? It's like, come on. Well, Joe Nakamura was announced, right?
Yes, that much has been made clear.
Yes. Samoa Joe will defend the NXT Championship against Mr. Nakamura. We do have our Asuka Bayley rematch for the women's title. I think everybody kind of knew that one too.
Yes.
And then the Revival. Do we know this one? Was this announced? I think so.
I don't think it's been announced, but it's been made pretty clear where what they're going.
Okay. So the Revival will probably, you like that?
Yes.
Probably defend the NXT tag titles against Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I love Ciampa. Chumpy, as I was calling it.
Chompy and Gargano.
Chompy and Gargano. So, and Gargamel.
Yes.
Do we just do a Smurfs reference? Only on Main Event.
Anything can happen here on the Place to Be Nation.
That is correct. You should get shirts that say that. So, obviously, that's the next big show. And then, of course, the next night in the same building is SummerSlam. And then, of course, Raw the next night as well. So, you could probably argue that Battleground is the best, second best show of the year behind NXT Dallas. Probably.
You can definitely make an argument, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Battleground is in the books. The question is, what happened the next night? Well, why don't we take a break, Mr. Butler, And when we return here on the main event, we will be joined by our second guest, my second guest of the evening. And we will talk about what happened this week because, as we said, the old era ended Sunday night in Washington, D.C. But the new era began this week on the USA Network. More main event, the new era, coming up next.
Does our whole second segment have to be about Bob Backlund trying to take his shirt off?
Can't they get him some dental work? This isn't an indie promotion.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with The Sports Lounge, The TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Team's Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO PTBN Podcast Network.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the main event. Scott Criscolo, Glenn Butler, and our second guest has finally arrived. He was supposed to be on 2 weeks ago when we did our draft preview with his cohort on Clotheslines and Headlines, Mr. Nate Milton, the Godfather, and Mr. Brian Bayless was on as well, but he had to go out on a date. He had to be Jervis's wingman. I want to be Jervis's wingman, goddammit. He is always a member of the Core Four, even though he's kind of bouncing around from one promotion to another. He's kind of like the Bruiser Brody of Place to Be Nation, except without getting killed in a shower. Jesus. Mr. Steve Willie.
God, we hope.
If anybody will never get killed in a shower, it is Steve Willie.
I don't know about that. You know, my other job has some, has some negatives.
Steve, it is always a pleasure to have you on.
You, cohort, of course, Scott. You are always my cohort.
You of course, are the... The Jersey Triad. Oh, it's actually not the Jersey Triad. It's the Rhode Island Triad. That didn't work. What did we say earlier, Glenn? What words are you mushing together? Oh, backlash. What did I say? Backlash given?
Backla given.
Backla given. Because we're trying to push the fact that Backlash is actually a pay-per-view in September now. Anyway, of course, Steve Willey is, of course, the tri-hosts with Mr. Rosero and Mr. Milton on Clotheslines and Headlines. You guys, Steve, were the recipient of looking at the great draft. What'd you think of it? Pretty good, huh?
I thought so. I thought you guys did a little bit better job than, shaving things up than Raw and SmackDown did. But we'll be talking about that shortly.
Yes, we...
I bet all your choices were wrong.
I need therapy, Steve, after that. You threw me off, Glenn. Why? Why? Every time he's referred to me, I lose my mind.
I'm so, so sorry.
Damn it. No, it's all right. I can never be mad at you, Glenn. We got like 46% of SmackDown. A lot of the guys we thought were going to go to SmackDown all went to Raw, which was kind of sad. But anyway, Steve Willey, always a pleasure. And you will dive into our second segment shortly. But first, let me talk PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. How about this? The first year of Between the Sheiks, Bix and Chris did a 57-hour podcast. No, they didn't really do it that long, although sometimes it does. Anyway, to celebrate the first year of Between the Sheets, Chris and Bix, with help from fans of the show, put together the best moments of the first 52 episodes. I don't even want to fathom how long it is. I love the show to death. I really do. For anybody who hasn't listened to it,
That best of is nearly 7 hours long.
Holy crap. And I just listened to one that was close to five. That was the one I'm behind in their catalog, but I mean, the show is fantastic. This was the one I just listened to was November 10th through the 16th, 1996. So that show was Nick Bockwinkel died.
On the show?
No, that show.
Oh,
Bix, well, Bix would have read the obituary or the coroner's report, one or the other. They talked about Savage and the whole controversy with him maybe going to WWF, and they talked about Snuka and everything, and they talked about that week was November to Remember, so they went through that whole card, and there was a big AAA thing in Mexico or maybe it was one of the other promotions. That show was almost 5 hours. 7 hours, but guys, it is a great 7 hours. So if you haven't listened to the first year of Between the Sheets, you can get the highlights with this one. But I recommend listening to all of them because the show's great. So check it out. The Best of Between the Sheets, Volume 1. Newest episode of the newest installment of the excellent WWE Network Adventure. Myself, Mr. Rosero, Mr. Campbell, Mr. Greenhouse, Mr. McGinn. We've had Mr. Brian Bayless has been a special guest as well. What we're doing, for those that haven't read it yet, we are watching everything on the WWE Network in chronological order. So this week is the October 29th, 1984 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. We're talking about a lot of fatigues, Glenn, in segment one. I have TNT fatigue. And we haven't even gotten to the worst episodes yet.
Be strong. I know you can do it.
I know we can power our way through it. There's one episode coming up that might be it might be worse than the 1995 King of the Ring in terms of just terrible wrestling television, and we're going to be getting to it soon. But anyway, but that doesn't mean read the column. The column's fantastic. We have our hot takes and some of our great observations. You think you copyrighted hot takes, Steve?
Oh God, no! It's one of my favorite things right now. Like, everyone has to have some sort of burning hot opinion on everything.
Well, you've come to the right show here. Let me tell you right now. Unless Aaron Jones. That's his pseudonym when he leaves the country of Canada. When Aaron George talks about xylophones, he is Aaron Jones. But he's Aaron Jones when he leaves the country, probably because of his passport. But read the column. It's fantastic. We talk about our observations, our hot takes, and other such information and opinions. So the newest installment of the excellent WWE Network Adventure, the October 29th, 1984 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. Mr. Butler, your walk around the web.
Yes, sir.
Any highlights? What are the highlights?
Well, the Wednesday walk around the web is a weekly link roundup I do every single Wednesday at PleaseToBeNation.com. Mm-hmm. This week we had a gummy version of Dune, a statistical analysis of Legos. It turns out Legos are getting grayer as we age. Prince's symbol and the design process that went into that, passive-aggressive cosplay, an ancient Irish rune meaning hangover, the history of trial by combat, The tree from the Shawshank Redemption fell down, much more. News and notes, the occasional hot take as well.
Best column on PTBN, my opinion.
Did you say the gummy version of Dune?
Yes.
Yes.
Like the movie Dune?
Yes, sir.
Is that the one Sting was in? Or was that
Yes, that was Sting. In a metal thong.
You have a gummy Sting?
It's not a gummy Sting. Well, you think you have gummy worms and Dune has sandworms and kind of go from there.
Ah, I see. I thought you had a gummy Sting. That'd be sweet. Anyway, check out Mr. Butler's Wednesday Walk on the Reb. It is Reb. What is wrong with me? Willie, what did you do? Were you handing me your beers? My God.
No Rebs on my show.
No Rebs on your show.
No Rebs. No goddamn sesesh.
Says Aaron Jones. Check out Glenn's Wednesday Walk around the Web. It is always awesome. Brian Bayless had your SmackDown recap. I don't know if he'll do that every week. We may need to draft someone else to do that because, of course, he is awesome with the Raw recap. But he did do a SmackDown recap this week. The newest episode of Lucha Undead, speaking of hot takes, a shoot interview with my PIC, Mr. Rosero from the Mothership, of course, Place to Be podcast. I listened to it. It was exceptional. He talked about, you know, his life and how, you know, he became a wrestling fan, how him and I met, how the podcast started, some juicy stuff on Steve Corino. Tremendous episode of Lucha Undead 31. Timothy sits with my PIC, JT Rosero. It was actually very, very good. Highly recommend it. Newest episode of the Titans of Wrestling, Stampede Territory Part 2. Kelly and Travis look at Archie Gouldie, the Stomper, the area's most legendary heel. So check that out, the newest episode of Titans of Wrestling. As I mentioned, Brian Bayless had your Raw rundown as well as your SmackDown rundown. JR and I are continuing our Vintage Vault refreshes. The May 10th, 1993 episode of Monday Night Raw, that's the one where Mr. Perfect threw Shawn Michaels through Howard Finkel's windshield in front of the Manhattan Center. And Chris Zellner, Johnny Sorrow gave their instant reaction to Battleground. Poor Zellner, he's asked me the last two times to join him, but I have been unable to. But I'm looking forward to being on a reaction show again. I know it's been a long time. Also, newest episode of This Week in Wrestling, Pete and Johnny, Pete and Tim, all sorts of fun stuff. Newest episode of This Week in Wrestling. Don't forget to look at the right side of the page. Guess what's there? What's the hot take?
Amazon show rules. Me the money.
That's right. Click to the right to Amazon.com. I actually bought a DVD today. So go over there. Click on Amazon. You'll still buy stuff. No change in price or anything. We just get a little taste to help run the site. So please do that. Also, you can check out all of our podcasts. They're categorized right there in the if you click the podcast link, you'll see all the different podcasts, and they're all cataloged.
While we're plugging the site, can I make a special plea?
Of course.
Scott, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that on the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, we recently did our reaction show to Star Trek Beyond, the new blockbuster motion picture.
Yep.
And in fact, we've done a series on all of the Star Trek movies, including you for Insurrection, which is a great show and a great time.
Thank you. I loved it.
Definitely. Now that we've done all the movies, we are looking to put together a mailbag episode about the Star Trek franchise. Movies, TV, anything.
No!
So I would like to implore listeners, anyone within the sound of my voice, if you have a question or a comment or something about Star Trek that you would like myself and my brother to discuss on our mailbag show, please get in touch with me. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter at Glennie Bunn, as Scott so often refers to me as. Please get in touch. We want to hear from you.
Do you know Jerry Ryan? Oh, sorry. I'm sure you're going to get something dopey like that, but I'm definitely going to do that. Absolutely. Fantastic. So definitely check that out. Get your questions in to Scott and Glenn. Not Scott Glenn the actor, Scott and Glenn. Also, on the right side of the page, we have our Place to Be publications. JR and I are doing our ebooks. We have three out right now of our rejuvenated Vintage Vault reviews. The first one is the Federation era, every pay-per-view from WrestleMania 1 till the 1992 Survivor Series. The second one is every Saturday night's main event from the original run, so from 1985 to 1992. And then the third book is the first half of the New Generation, so it's every pay-per-view review from the 1993 Royal Rumble to WrestleMania 12. So check all those out. Those are absolutely free. You can get them on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Don't forget, also, I keep forgetting, Brad's going to smack me on the wrist. He'll take away my cigar privileges. We have many podcast feeds. We, of course, have our Place to Be Nation podcast feed. We have the PWO PTBN podcast feed. We have PTBN pop. I can't even try to pop my peas. Come on, Brad. Pop. PTBN pop feed, which your show was on, Mr. Butler.
Indeed.
And I will be adding a special show Monday. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But I'm going to make my PTBN pop debut on Monday. So check it out Monday morning. You will see a show that I am on, and it's pretty awesome. And it has to do with a major anniversary that takes place on Monday in the history of pop culture. Mm-hmm. So check it out.
Interesting.
Yes. So placebnation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right. Mr. Willie, we were spending segment one talking about Battleground. And, of course, the big show on Sunday. So before we move on, give us your overall impressions of the show and two or three specific points you want to make about the show.
Overall, I thought it was much better than I expected it to be going in. I was worried about a week or two ahead of the schedule that it was just going to be a placekeeper show until they rebooted for Raw and SmackDown. But, you know, the mystery partner is one of the – ooh, I popped my pee right there. The mystery partner was one of the few times that you got a good payoff. Like, I was joking that it might be Tamina just to go with the Jimmy Snuka meme of 96, I believe, when Jimmy Snuka was the mystery partner.
Yes.
But they really
– oh, God, Steve. Not while I have something in my – not while I have a drink in my mouth.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to guess the shape of the shadow.
Yes. Oh, that was such a thing on AOL back in like
I know. It was
4, 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like a really special moment. I really enjoyed it, and even seeing like Sasha Banks almost break her boss character. So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, Sammy and Owens was quite possibly one of the top 5 matches of the year for WWE so far. And I have to throw a little shade at Justin, because we got into as much of an argument as Justin and I would get into on our Clotheslines and Headlines show. He thought it was quite conceivable that Reigns was going to win. I said there's absolutely no way, because that would be an awful decision to reward a person who you suspended for drug abuse. It would be awful, like public relations, like, hey, congratulations, you violated our wellness policy. Here's our belt. And he said that would probably happen, and I said no, and I win. I'm the greatest.
You wouldn't get this on Clotheslines and Headlines, would you?
No.
I can't believe I'm actually playing this.
I can't believe I'm dancing.
Don't spill the beer. All right, I'll admit, I was excited when she came out. I still thought it was going to be Nia Jax, but in any event, I didn't think he was going to win either. Justin had this weird thing in his head that, and you said it too, Glenn, but you didn't think he was going to win anyway. That the suspension was the punishment and he should just go back to it's like an athlete kind of thing. And I agreed with you earlier, Glenn. I definitely did. I just didn't think he was going to win the belt anyway. I just thought Rollins was going to get it and then Reigns would have to wait a month and he'd win it in Brooklyn. But I wasn't sold on the whole thing either about, you know, the suspension's the punishment, he should just win it. I agree about the suspension of the punishment. I didn't agree that if he was scheduled to win it, he should have still just won it. I just didn't think that made any sense. But that's just me. But now your girl goes back to NXT. It was a one-shot thing. And she will and I was trying to avoid spoilers. Glenn was warning me that I'm going to get yelled at. Her rematch with Asuka has been announced, correct?
Let's just say sure. Okay. I think it's being announced as we tape it.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, if it's not technically been announced, it's obvious.
I think they plugged that they were going to make the announcement tonight. Tonight being Wednesday.
But you know what? Announcing matches is not a spoiler. Announcing results, to me, is a spoiler. So that's just my role, and I'm sticking with it. Even though somebody got yelled at earlier in the week for a spoiler. but we'll get more into NXT, of course, in the coming weeks. All right. So we are through Battleground. The era is over, and a new one began Monday night when we had the first of the new shows. The new shows. A new Raw and a new SmackDown. Let's talk the new Raw. Commissioner Stephanie McMahon. General Manager Homeless Mick Foley. Who looked like he kind of had a new sweatshirt on, but I think he actually had pants on instead of sweatpants. I think he actually had pants that had a button. Maybe they were stretchy pants. I don't know. Although he did look like he's lost some weight. Maybe it's just because he's old. But a brand new Raw. First off, what do you guys think of the logo, Glenn?
I think the Raw logo is pretty good. I've seen people call it Monday Night Ram. I thought it looked more like the R was a B, so it looked more like BAW to me. But I like the block letters. I like the plainness of it. I think it's a good change for the new era, as much as the logo design is going to be.
Yeah, there were a couple people, Steve, who think that it's like a stylized version of the 1993 logo.
That makes sense. Yeah. You take out the Monday night portion and just have, I was at work, so I put it on the DVR, and for some reason it didn't take. So I went on Daily Motion and caught like the first hour, which didn't take. And for whatever reason, I'm assuming it's copyright, they like put a mirror image of the screen up there, the Daily Motion uploader. So it looked like, I think it was BAM is what it'll look like in the mirror image.
BAM. That's fun. I liked it, though. I thought the logo was fine. It took me a couple days to get used to, but I thought it was fine. The set really doesn't look that much. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
It wasn't a major change at all. Like, I do see what people are saying, that it really looks just like an upside down M, but that's like the most minor of details. I really care what the show is, not necessarily the graphic design of it. Like, the whole look of the place I care a little bit about more, but if people are going to get so hung up on the logo that they complain about it, that's a special issue right there.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. The set really didn't look that much different. It kind of looked like, I think somebody said it was like last year's SummerSlam with the arch and everything. I mean, it looked fine. Didn't look anything other, you know, crazily spectacular. The big news, though, going in is because of Dean Ambrose's win at Battleground, Raw had no belt. And everyone, and there was a news bit out that said, there's just going to be one belt for the company. And we're like, that's not going to fucking happen. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, that's what they call misdirection.
Yes. A red herring, if you will. And it made sense here from my perspective, because Stephanie is obviously a heel, so hearing her piss and moan about not having a belt, just like Eric Bischoff pissed and moaned in 2002 when Brock Lesnar went to SmackDown. So it was announced, of course, that there will be a new belt on Raw. Now, the first thought was, all right, they'll just bring the big gold belt back. But that is not the case. Mick Foley said he wanted to honor the WWE Universe, so the belt will be called the WWE Universal Championship.
Yep.
First thing I thought of was Bill Watts and a circus tent, and having to look at Jim Duggan again. Because obviously, when I hear Universal in any capacity of wrestling, I think of the UWF, the Universal Wrestling Federation, which is Old Mid-South. and the UWF belt. Steve, that
yes?
name is atrocious.
I think of the high school female plants from like 2011 TNA, like in Universal.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty horrendous. Glenn, any redeeming qualities whatsoever?
You know, they say that for something to be a world title, it has to be defended in more than one country. Ooh. So for something to be the universal title, mm-hmm. shouldn't it be defended in more than one galaxy?
You just gave yourself a mailbag question for the next episode. Love it. Yes. Does that mean the number one contender could be a Klingon? Yeah.
Well, that's still in the Milky Way, my friend.
Oh, that's right.
You've got to go over to the Andromeda Galaxy and put on a show.
Or the Gamma Quadrant. Wait, which quadrant had the Dominion in it? Was that the Beta Quadrant?
That was the Gamma Quadrant.
Gamma Quadrant had the Dominion. Yeah.
It would be really hard to pin a shapeshifter's shoulders to the mat.
That
by
is
the
true.
Way.
Yes, Odo can just squeeze through. Although the Jem'Hadar as a faction, badass. They are a bunch of drug users. Badass anyway. Steve's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Yeah, no wellness policy.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I was gonna say they probably wouldn't make it.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I was actually like kind of contemplating how a shapeshifter would kind of mold out of that. That could be a good solid match right there.
He'd be like Randy Orton, the Viper. He would slither his way out. Slithering out of nowhere, Odo. All right. I understand it's a cute little homage to the fans, but it still was pretty dopey. But there really isn't. I mean, what could you name it? Let's think about that for a second. We're gonna play devil's advocate here. What could they have named it? You couldn't name it World Heavyweight Championship. Otherwise, you just bring back the big old belt, and that needs to stay retired. You can't call it the Raw Championship. That sounds cheesy. And then the belt will be red. It'll look like a toy. Nah. I really can't think of what else you could name it.
The international title.
Exactly. They could call themselves the RAW instead of, or in the case of Steve, BAW or BAM, the BAM Championship. I don't know. I mean, I feel bad. I don't really know. I mean, we're sitting here trashing it, but I'm sure they didn't really have any other choice. Now,
unless they just like, I guess the question is there a need for another belt? I could argue both sides of that.
Yeah.
Question. Like, you know, do you elevate the Intercontinental or the U.S. title to the lead? Do you just have the, you know, the traveling champion? There's multiple ways to go with it.
And it makes for some good intrigue. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, if you want to try to elevate the U.S. title, I mean, if you really want to strap a rocket to Rusev, you could have him go out and say, I'm the one singles men's champion that we have on this show. I'm the top dog. You know, mm-hmm. Seth Rollins, you can challenge me if you win a number one contenders match, I guess.
Hmm.
You know, if you really, really want to try to elevate that belt and try to elevate Rusev, but then that opens up some complications. I mean, it's not necessarily in their plans to have Rusev in the main events right now. You want something in the mid-card for the people not in the main event to fight over. All the reasons they have the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title in the first place mm-hmm. still apply. So that's an ongoing concern. That's sort of like the concern when they made the World Heavyweight title in 2002. Except then they went and took away the Intercontinental title too, so that kind of negated some of that.
Right.
But you still have those concerns. So I get the desire to make a new mm-hmm. title. And it's just as well that Stephanie didn't go out there and just hand one to Seth, by the way.
Yes, that's true.
What I want to see is what the actual belt will look like.
Yeah, as everyone knows who've been listening to all these podcasts since the beginning, I am a belt junkie. I own five of them.
Well, you earned five of them.
Well, thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. I did earn five of them, damn it. So I'm a belt junkie. So I immediately – and then there was actually a fan belt that one of our loyal listeners and compadres got suckered into thinking was actually the real belt. It looked like the old winged eagle with a big WWE logo in the middle of it. You could tell some dopey schmuck made it in his basement. I will be fascinated to what the belt looks like. And it probably won't debut until, I don't think we'll see it until Brooklyn.
Most likely not.
Yeah. So, guys, we'll have to walk through the concessions that day and see if it's floating around and if your your humble host here will fork over, you know,
five.
Wow. Oh, yeah, if they have it on sale already.
$550. No, I couldn't do that. I'm not that fucking crazy.
I actually had a fleeting thought because they were auctioning off a Sasha Banks, you know, commemorative women's belt with her that she signed. I'm like, there was this fleeting thought like,
That would be very nice. I like the women's belt, actually. I like white leather. I own the new – I like white leather. If I edited my own opens, that would have been in that.
I feel like we get to know you better all the time.
I didn't say they were chaps. Those are red. No. I like the women's belt. I like it a lot. And the commemorative – so that's an interesting question because the commemorative belt, for those that go on shop.com and look around, the – you know, they have the – there's three different belts. There's the real belts, you know, like the actual replicas that are, you know, like $450 or whatever. And then there's the commemoratives, which are like – they're like between $150 and $200 depending. I think they're plastic. I think they're acrylic. Has anyone ever held one? Have either of you ever, like, looked, seen, or held the commemorative belt?
No, sir.
No?
No.
Because they're supposed to be, like, acrylic and, like, have some weight, but not really. And you can get them for, like $175, you know, depending on what the belt is. Mm-hmm. But anyway. So I'll be looking forward to seeing what the belt looks like. Now, we obviously need a match. So what they did was, on Raw Monday night, they did a pair of eight-man, or a pair of eight-man, a pair of four-man Fatal 4-Way matches to decide which two guys would face each other at the end of the night. And that guy would go on to SummerSlam to face Seth Rollins because Stephanie McMahon said because Seth Rollins did not get pinned at Battleground, he deserves a title shot. So he is locked in at SummerSlam to face one of these eight guys. The first Fatal 4-Way, if I remember the guys correctly, it was Cesaro, Kevin Owens,
Rusev,
and Finn Balor, who was making his big debut. Obviously, for those, it's not really a spoiler because we're 3 days old. Finn Balor won the first 4-way, which surprised me greatly. Did it surprise you, Glenn?
Well, watching the show, it didn't surprise me because I didn't watch the show until Wednesday. but hearing the news about it on Monday night, it was a little surprising just to think that not only are they bringing Balor up, not only did they draft him pretty high, but they're already putting him in a featured role, which was very interesting and welcome. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's obvious that one of the main priorities for this show as the first show of the new era, as they're calling it, that their priority was to have a really, really good show. Mm-hmm. And doing these two four-way matches leading to a singles match in the main event instantly gives the show three marquee matches. And then they added a fourth marquee match, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So they really stacked this show. And this was the beginning of it in a really, really good four-way, too.
Yeah, it was a great match. It was a great match. They moved around a lot of bouncing around. Steve, what were your thoughts on the match?
I thought it was surprisingly excellent, and that I think it was more surprisingly excellent that they had so many high quality matches in terms of, like, you know, your snowflakes at the end of it. I think they went around 20 some minutes for that first match.
They went to two commercial breaks.
Yeah. And even the open wasn't as long as you would expect. I think it was only around like, it was less than 10 minutes or so. You know, the opening with Stephanie and Mick Foley, you would expect it, you know, in the older days, the older era or whatever we want to call it, you know, that you're going to get a 25 minute segment for your first new show of talk. But they really went through it quickly and went straight through the match, which is definitely a welcome change. And the other thing that I think we talked about it in the chat too, like very quickly, there was this marked change in the announcing where Michael Cole was referencing Finn Balor's history more and even used professional wrestling as a term and like emphasized wrestling. You know, that would be something you would think maybe might slip out of like a JBL or something like that. But like when Michael Cole is saying it right off the bat, you know that that was a directive.
Right.
Like to use that term. And I was like, whoa, what is they're really trying to make a change for, you know, people like us, the more hardcore fans who are, you know, to try to reel us back in, which is why I think, you know, they gave Balor the nod here. They wanted to establish, hey, this is something new. This is not what you're going to see. Now, whether it remains that way, you know, the jury's still out on that.
Also, I think it shows the growing influence of NXT, mm-hmm. where not only was so much of the excitement about the draft around the call-ups from NXT, or some of them at least, but also this entire four-way match had four guys who were identified with NXT to some extent or another.
Yeah, and
it really showed in the style of the match, too.
Yeah, it did. It was quick, fast-paced. There were some big strikes. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So Finn Balor gets to the final, and he takes on who would be the winner of the second four-way match of the evening, which pitted Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho,
Sami Zayn,
and
Sheamus. I almost said Baron Corbin.
I almost said Corbin, too. He was on another big multi-guy match. This was a no-brainer. I think it was pretty evident Roman Reigns was going to win. Because I don't think you could have... I mean, I think any other guy winning would have tipped your hand that Finn Balor would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe Sammy.
That's a good point.
Except Sammy. Ooh, Sammy and Balor?
Ooh. You know what? After this match, I'd be pumped for Sammy versus Reigns.
Oh, yeah. They had some good chemistry together.
They did have a good exchange. I agree.
I mean, the crowd 100%. Would melt down.
Yeah, they would go bonkers. Because if you see a Superman punch, forget it. They'll throw kryptonite at him. yeah, that would be... I think that's one thing we're going to like about these two shows is we're going to see some unique matchups that with one roster never would have happened. So Roman Reigns does indeed win that match and faces Finn Balor at the end of the evening. And of course, we all thought, oh, here we go. But alas, the Demon, and not Jordan Duncan's favorite wrestler, Demon Kane, but the other Demon. Are they going to stop calling Kane Demon Kane now? You can't really have two demons. And God forbid, we don't want Finn Balor connected with Kane in any capacity.
Well, it depends how much we have to differentiate between Demon Kane and Corporate Kane.
You know what's funny?
You'd have SmackDown Live Demon Kane, and then bam, Monday Night Bam, Demon Finn Balor.
I don't remember if it was Jordan who said it, or someone did, that one show should have drafted Demon Kane and the other show should have drafted Corporate Kane.
Yeah, I think it was Jordan.
Well, if you watch Draft Central that day, I watched it the next day, when they were saying... available draft stars, it said Demon Kane.
Yes, it did.
So what if you say, I don't want Demon Kane, I want Corporate Kane, I want Slacks Kane. You know, you're like, well, okay.
You know, so, get you a Kane who can do both.
Exactly. In any event, we don't have to worry about Kane because Finn Balor defeated Roman Reigns. Huh? And it'll be Finn Balor and Seth Rollins on August 21st in the Borough for the new Universal Championship. Steve, what is the prospect of that gem?
Oh, yeah. It's not a match that has happened as far as I understand.
I don't think so either.
A shock to think that you're going to get Seth Rollins and Finn Balor at SummerSlam. I don't know if it will be the main event, but it quite possibly could.
I think it will be.
Yeah, like the only other thought I would have would be the Brock and Orton match that was previously announced. But I think with the title, I don't know. And that's a question I had, too, at first. I'm like, man, do they really trust Finn Balor for this? And then you realize last year he wrestled Owens in that ladder match in front of literally the exact same size crowd.
Yeah, and it was fantastic.
Same building, same crowd. Yep.
Yeah, yep. But obviously the biggest moment of the show, besides Balor winning, I think this might even be bigger. And you mentioned it, Steve, when you're talking about the belt. Mm-hmm. We have a new women's champion.
What?
Forgoing the title match at SummerSlam. They had it Monday night. And the boss, Sasha Banks, is your new women's champion. She defeated Charlotte in what was actually a pretty goddamn good match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the ending when Charlotte was looking at her saying, "You're not beating me. You're not beating me." You're like, "Yeah, I'm beating you." I love the bank statement. What a finisher, huh? Having said that, Sasha better be careful because she's going to kill herself one day. She's going to be like Lita. Lita was reckless. But she's fantastic. I mean, Glenn, I was stunned that they actually had the match on Raw.
Yeah, it was a huge match. It was a huge moment. I wonder a little bit if it maybe takes away from SummerSlam a little bit not to have it happen there. But for what they wanted to do on this show as far as making a statement, I think it was a really tremendous thing to do on this show.
Yeah. Steve, what do you think?
Man, I think you could take that pun to the bank, Glenn. Yeah, God, I love puns. I think it was a great move. I think it was very shrewd of them to have a title change on this new era show. And Glenn, I was a little disappointed, but I think it was also when I kind of reflected on it, it was more personal disappointment because being, you know, the three of us will be in Brooklyn and to not be able to, you know, I thought that was going to be, you know, big title change that we would get to see.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that I get to see live very often in my life. So, but it was a really shrewd crowd. It wasn't like, you know, hot shot in a belt just for the sake of hot shotting it. Like, you know, again, like they would do in years past. It's like, no, that was, you know, probably in the plans and maybe it was scheduled for SummerSlam, maybe not. But just to move it up a few weeks to while you have perhaps some new eyes on the product, smart idea. Someone who is, you know, very much been, you know, loved by a lot of fans and, you know, it wanted it to happen. People were wondering where she was at. And it was a good way to generate some goodwill.
Yep. Yep. So people were amazed at how great this match was and how great this Raw was. People were floored. I was being a little devil's advocate-ish. I said, was this really a good match or was this really a good show, or did everybody just like it because their people won? If, say, their main event was Roman Reigns and Sheamus and Roman won, would the show still have been that good?
I think the show wouldn't have been as good because that match wouldn't have been as good.
True.
And I do think you're absolutely right, Scott, in terms of you get a lot of people who are favorable of the show if their favorites win, regardless of quality of match. If you had the exact same show and Reigns beat Balor in the exact same match, just rains, you know, pulled it out, I think that you would have a lot different opinion on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a great show. There's some really good matches, but Reigns wins, LOL, you know, just like Cena. You know, it's the same old stuff. I think you would see a lot more of that reaction.
I think so, too. I think so, too. But, I mean, I won't take away from the fact that it was really a great show. It really was. Mm-hmm. Which takes us...
Reminds me... I'm sorry, Scott.
Like, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
One of my kind of favorite moments of the Place to Be Nation interviews with Kevin Kelly when he was on was him talking about the, you know, another AOL reference, the dot-com days where they would do the post show and the ratings, if the heel won, were so much worse.
Yeah.
And the audience, you know, ratings, you know, when they rated the show, than if the face won.
Good point. Yeah. Which brings us to the next night, the premiere on Tuesday night of SmackDown Live. Also with a new logo. Also stylized. Not too far off from the original logo, but I liked it. The one thing people noticed about the set, no ramp. Just a straight path. Just a path, not a ramp.
I just noticed that now that you said that.
Yeah, it's a flat ramp. No, flat path. You know, like just a aisle. But of course we need a opponent for Mr. Dean Ambrose. And there's some great guys on Raw, on SmackDown. So the main event Tuesday night was a six-pack challenge between John Cena, AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Bray Wyatt, Apollo Crews, and Baron Corbin. The winner will face Dean Ambrose for the WWE World Championship. They've adjusted the name slightly. On August 21st in the Borough. Right off the bat, who did everyone think was going to win? Glenn?
Well, again, I heard the winner like a while before I watched the show.
Right.
But otherwise, like I said in segment one, you have to be really careful about putting Cena in the title picture. Mm-hmm. And he still has unfinished business with AJ Styles.
Right.
So you figure those two eliminate each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people were thinking they would bring back the Ambrose Wyatt feud. From a year and a half ago or so. I was hoping they wouldn't because I didn't really like those matches.
No, I know. Yeah, they weren't great.
But that was definitely the prevailing thought.
Steve?
I agreed, and there was a small part of me that thought they might go, since, you know, because of the shock factor in on Raw, that they might like really pull a trigger on Baron Corbin for one time. Only because, hey, we got Balor Rollins already at SummerSlam. Let's take a chance on this and elevate somebody.
Mm-hmm. And they did elevate somebody. Just not the guy anybody thought. A guy that probably should have been elevated 5 years ago. Dolph Ziggler stole the pin. He super kicked, actually.
Yeah, a really good super kick.
Yeah, he smacked him pretty good. AJ Styles, that was a guy I didn't think would get pinned. So Dolph Ziggler will get his first legit crack in probably close to 3 years at the WWE World Championship against Dean Ambrose on Sunday, August 21st. That alone makes me think that Balor Rollins will be the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking along those lines too. You don't automatically think that they're going to bring Finn Balor up and put him in the main event of SummerSlam, but given those two title matches, it seems pretty likely. Also, I think that the selection of Ziggler to be the challenger is really significant for Ambrose because it means that a guy who people thought would never get the title, and then when he did, people thought he would just have a one-month deal and give it back to one of the Shield members. And then, you know, people were assuming he was just going to lose at Battleground. Now, for SummerSlam, he has a challenger who he might put on a good match with, but there's no chance in hell Ziggler's winning the belt. So for Ambrose to come all this way, that now he has a safe challenger, quote unquote. Watch me be completely wrong since I'm talking about it this much, but still, I think I won't be. For him to come all this way is pretty significant.
Yeah. I still think it's – I think it was stunning. I think they wanted to kind of come up with an upset. And frankly, this was a guy that a lot of people wanted to see get his shot. So nobody should really be stunned. And honestly, nobody should really be upset either. Dolph Ziggler is a guy everybody likes. Everybody says he gets hosed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in the reality, everybody really wanted this. They just didn't think it was coming.
Well, right. not quite everybody. I mean, I for one have been rather down on Dolph since, oh, I don't know, around 2009.
Jesus. It's a recent revelation.
Well, I think the greatest thing Dolph Ziggler has done as Dolph Ziggler was when he would bump amazingly for the Funkasaurus.
Yes.
Those confrontations were awesome. When the Funkasaurus would just like jiggle at him and he would fall all over himself, that was a really good performance. Otherwise, I've never been that impressed with any of his matches. So that's just where I'm coming from. I know I'm in the minority there.
I feel that a lot of people have been down on him for, say, the last year. Like, he's been not just the way he's been booked, but like perhaps maybe an attitude, like maybe not giving it all as much anymore, whereas he would bump a lot for people in the past. And, you know, really, like, what has he done this year? Not just booking wise, but you know, you can be booked in a bad way and still stand out, you know, just like, you know what? Okay, I'm going against Baron Corbin 3 months in a row, but I'm going to bump like a madman and make Baron Corbin look like $1 million.
Right.
And, you know, no one said that. Right. That being said, I'm happy for the guy. Like, mm-hmm. How long has he, you know, he is on pretty much every show. You know, he will complain a little bit, but
right.
He is on every show.
Yeah.
He's – how many years has he been around now? You know, since 06, right?
Well, he's in the Spirit Squad.
He's been on the main roster.
He's been in the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, 10 years plus his time in developmental. So, like, there have been worse guys who have been rewarded due to service. And, you know, it immediately gives a fresh matchup. And – like you said, Glenn, it makes Dean Ambrose the face of SmackDown, which is, you know, also kind of a nice surprise that he's always been known as the third wheel of the group, but yet here he is, you know, being you know, the one of the guys to lead a show.
Yeah, I think it needs some time. I think we got to give everybody the benefit of the doubt here. Mm-hmm. I do, and I'm curious to see the interaction between Dolph and Dean. Will this be face versus face? Will Dolph turn heel? You know, that's something that I think is pretty fascinating. So there we go. There's your week of incredible television. I thought SmackDown was not bad. I mean, it followed a pretty damn good Raw. I don't think you're gonna see that Raw every week. But it was pretty good. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Universal Championship belt will look like. Can Raw and SmackDown keep up this hot pace as we head to SummerSlam? Glenn Butler, it has been a pleasure, sir. Thank you. Once again, pimp it again. You got your big mailbag. Where can we send questions?
Yes, if you have any questions, comments, suggested topics for a Star Trek franchise mailbag show, contact me on Twitter and Tumblr at GlennyBunn. You can email me, GLENNB at placetobenation.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can post on the Place to Be Nation Facebook page. Reach out and touch me. We want to hear you.
And I just found out the new show next year, Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
Is going to be on CBS All Access.
Yes, it is. The pilot episode is going to air on CBS proper, and then the rest of the season will roll out week to week on All Access.
Funky. 13 episodes.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I remain cautiously optimistic.
Well, it's always anything with the name Roddenberry, at least now at this stage of the game, is it's like Lucas. You're always cautiously optimistic. But I'm definitely going to – I have a couple of questions. I'm going to have pseudonyms so my questions can be asked by separate different people.
Awesome.
What is this? Scott Levesque has a question. but
I like white leather, it writes in.
Yes.
Which Star Trek character would you like to see in white leather?
Yeah. Who's my favorite Dudley? Never mind. Steve Willey.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
I don't have any answers to Star Trek, but just if you have any life questions, you know, I'm at Steve Willey PTBN on Twitter. WILLE. I'll answer everything. I might not answer anything, actually, to be honest with you.
Was this your exit interview as you're leaving our promotion?
No.
To go to the other promotion?
Scott, you are the person who has given me a microphone, both metaphorical and kind of literally. And I am core four through and through.
C-O-R-E
four through and through.
Yeah. Suck it, Virgil. Oh, sorry. Yep.
I got a little side gig.
No, you guys are fantastic. Next week, the newest episode of Clotheslines and Headlines. Looking forward to your opinions of the first couple weeks. You guys will have another two shows in your back pocket when you record next week. So I'm looking forward to hearing you guys talk about it. So there you have it.
What's a really big, important show.
Yes, of course you guys talk.
And if you're not listening to Clotheslines and Headlines, you're an obsolete mule.
Yeah.
Yes.
No xylophone for you.
You shall be deleted.
Like chicken parm, or was it meatball parm? I don't know. So check it out next week. They alternate with us here at Main Event. Clotheslines and Headlines, Steve Willey, my PIC, Mr. Rosero, the Godfather, Nate Milton. You guys are fantastic. What's previews of like the indie stuff? Any Chikara stuff? Indie tidbits?
A really big show. We're going to have Kevin Kelly on to talk Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about his podcast and New Japan. We're going to have Chad on to talk New Japan and Dragon Gate. It's going to be a huge show. We're going to have Brad Stutz back, and who knows, depending on what happens with our brother Hardy. We might be talking a little bit more about Final Deletion if they keep churning that kind of fun stuff out.
Exactly.
And we might be back recapping Ultima Lucha Dos, right, Steve?
Yes. I'm slowly working through the Ultima Lucha Dos. It's going to be a very long show, I have a feeling. I'm thinking one quarter between the sheets year and
wow! So about 58 hours instead of 176. And by the way, I'm not picking on Between the Sheets because as everyone knows, I had Chris Zellner here on the Main Event a few shows ago and I goofed with him about his podcast length, so he already knows that.
Impressed. Like, I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how he does it either. I sit there and I've listened to the shows and they're fantastic. And him and Bix, there was one episode, it was just the two of them. I said, I mean, JR and I can talk, but I couldn't talk for four straight hours. Well, unless I parve with me, which I have done once, I guess. But I'm looking forward to it, Steve. Next week's episode of Clotheslines and Headlines. For Steve Willey, for Glenn Butler, I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been to the Main Event, whether you're blue or you're red. You're that special. As the Burrow awaits in 4 weeks. But I'll talk to you in 2.
Hey guys, you know what we didn't talk about in all of this? Braun!
Shut up, Rish.
and share.